Thank you, Becky. Well, Harrison, I want you to give me a Spanish lesson this morning. I'm ready. Okay. How do you say faithful in Spanish?
Fiel.
What is it?
Fiel.
Fiel?
Fiel.
Well, my friend, you are fiel. I so appreciate you, Harrison, and all who know you, I think, appreciate you. You are a faithful servant, you and Roxinha here at Still Heights, as one of our elders, as our treasurer. You are, we trust you, and the Lord has put his favor upon your life. And so I just want to bless you in Jesus' name as you bring the word this morning and let you know how much we appreciate you and your family here at Still Heights. So bless you, Harrison. Lord God in heaven, thank you for your son, for your servant, Harrison. Lord, you've made him in your image. Lord, you've put your spirit in him. Now I pray you would guide him and direct him, Lord, as he brings your word to us this morning. Bless him, God. Give him your freedom and your grace, your boldness, God, your wisdom. I pray these things for the glory of your kingdom, Jesus. Amen. Bless you.
Amen. Thank you. I was planning to say some jokes about Pastor Darren, but I guess I changed my mind. Well, good morning, church. And good morning to our brothers and sisters and friends in the satellite service upstairs. Please don't change the channel. You know, they do that. When I'm preaching, they are watching hockey upstairs. Since this is a special day for the Latinos, right? That's what Pastor Darren asked me to preach today. He wants to make sure that I am on time today. So, yeah. It is an honor for me to be here this morning. I always thank you the way that, you know, you still intimidated people, but when I'm here, you make me feel good, and I appreciate that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have today of meeting together. We pray that your Holy Spirit will take control of our hearts, our minds. Any word that I will speak this morning will bless the people who are listening and bless my life as well. Thank you that we have a God who cares about us and protect us and always blessing our life and the life of our families. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are getting close to the end of our sermon series, Life with God. And today we will be talking about life with hope. And I would like to start with sharing with you with a story, true story. I'm telling you that because there are some friends that they are wondering if my stories are true or not. They think I come here to lie. This one is true. The one that, do you remember the one that I told you about the kangaroo and the penguin that they were singing, saying, you know, who took the candy was from the jar? That one is real too. So. A police officer from the California Highway Patrol received a call that he has to go to the Golden Gate Bridge. The Golden Gate Bridge has been known for his beauty but and the nice view, but also because people who decide to end their life are going there to jump. And so this police officer was called, and when he arrived, he found a young man. His name was Jason. He was 32 years old. And he was speaking with to a Golden Gate Bridge officer. So they start having this conversation with him, and they found out that this was actually the third time that he flown out from New Jersey to the bridge. But this time he took one step forward, and he was sitting in the bridge planning to jump. After about 1 hour, this young man asked the police officers if they knew the story of the Pandora's box. This is from the Greek mythology. And he started talking about that to them. And he said that Zeus created Pandora and sent her down to Earth with a box and told her that never, ever open the box. But one day, Pandora was so curious about what was in that box, and she decided to open it. Immediately, all kind of sorrows and all sorts of evils against men flew out from the box. The only good thing in the box was hope. Jason then asked him, he asked the police officers, what happens when you open the box and hope isn't there? He paused a few moments, he leaned to his right side, and he jumped. This is a very sad story with a terrible ending. But it's a reality that we are facing today. Maybe we have different outcomes. And that's good. Face troubles in life. And we have something in common. We all have something in common. We all have needs. We need food. We need water. We need shelter. We need clean air. We also need to feel that people value us, that we belong, that we have meaning, that we have purpose in life. Also, we like to see that the future makes sense to us. We all have that. No matter where you are coming from, no matter if you are in church today or somewhere else, we all have that. And we have something else in common, that we all face these forces that we cannot control. We face death. We face fear. We face evil. And that wasn't the plan in the beginning. In the beginning, the needs were there, but probably hope wasn't necessary. The Bible says that hope, but hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But then, when men decide to disobey God, then these forces, you can call them, you know, sin, evil, death, whatever you think is better. But these forces came and changed everything. And we all need to face those forces. The difference comes when we need to decide how are we going to face those forces. With God, with Christ, or without Him. And that makes a huge difference. A huge difference. That's why God is asking us to be diligent in our Christian life. And that's why it's so important that we bring Christ to our homes. Because, you know, the way that you were raised makes a difference too. No matter if you are coming from a Christian family, if Christ wasn't there, even though they call Christian family, the way that you face those forces today is different if you were raised with Christ in your home or not. You know, when I was a little boy, everything was normal for me. I wasn't worried about tomorrow, you know, like any other kid, playing and having a good relationship with my parents. But there was one day, that things changed. I was witnessing that day domestic violence against my mom. And that changed everything. Everything. It was just one time. It wasn't something that was happening every day. Just one time. And that changed my relationship with my dad. Forever. Forever. It was hard for me to be on his lap. It was hard for me to talk to him. Even when I was an adult and I see him, you know, somewhere, my conversations with him was basically about sports, nothing else. And always the same thing, because we share the same team. We share for the same team in Costa Rica, soccer team. But also affects the way that I face other issues in life. Without knowing, the way that I relate with other people changed too. You know, sometimes I'm worried about sharing these things because then you will be, you know, doing a psychological analysis of me. But I am a new person. I'm still dealing with some things as everybody else, but changed my life. Changed my life. It is saying that kids who are in homes where domestic violence happen against their moms, make them, you know, make their future very difficult, because when they are facing a storm in their lives, they tend to hide, and it's hard for them to go through suffering because of that. So it's very important that we consider that. Living with God, life with God, is different in terms of the way that you see the future than when you are not living with Christ. So when we talk about the future, hope, it is a very important virtue. And we need to make sure that we understand what is around this term. And the Bible says that there are two types of hope. One is the hope that the world defines, and one is the hope that God defines. And the Bible says that the hope of the world comes from visions of human beings' minds. But hope that comes from God is defined as the anchor of our soul that is firm and secure and comes from the promises of God, from His mouth. And when we put those two together, we will see differences between them, huge differences between them. When we talk about hope that comes from the promises of God, we talk about a hope that has, that doesn't have limitations in terms of this life, can go beyond that. And what I mean for that is that we have a promise from God that our Lord Jesus Christ will come and our sins will be forgiven, and then we will enjoy a new sky and a new earth. And that is a promise that we found in the Bible. When I was a kid, I was very scared about death. Death was something for me. And I remember that my mom, and that happened after my mom took me to this funeral. And I remember being in the cemetery. In Spanish, it's cemetery. That's what I mean. Trying to put an N, but it's cemetery in English. And my mom took me to the cemetery, and until today, I don't know who the man was. I know he was a relative, but probably it wasn't a close relative. And I was in the cemetery, and it was in Honduras. That is in the north of Nicaragua, Central America. And I remember that I was there and looking for something to do, and then I start seeing people lining up to see the guy who was in the coffin. And so I think in those days, probably today still, but in those days was very common. And I went and I said, I want to see it too. I never seen a dead man, so I would take this opportunity to see it. And, sorry. So I went, and it was my turn, and I was looking at this guy who can't move. Good that he couldn't move. That would be something if he'd move. But I was seeing him. And well-dressed, the colors of his face changed, different colors. And he was with some cotton balls in his nose and his ears. And that smell of the flowers. And that image followed me after I left the funeral, the cemetery, and followed me for a long time. And I remember having this conversation with my mom, saying, Mom, I don't want you to die. Never. Never. Can we die together? It was a conversation that I had with her. But it wasn't until I knew about our Lord Jesus Christ that fear disappeared. And the way that I see death today is totally different. It's not that I want to die. I love to live. I love my family. But I don't have that fear anymore, because I know that Jesus Christ died for me, and he is preparing a home for me and for you. So there is no fear in my heart anymore. But when I was walking without God, without Christ, it was a different story. And we humans, we tend to hide for things that we don't like. So when I open the Bible or something, someone talks about death, I was basically, I don't want even to think about it. And when I think about death today, and that my days won't end when I left this body, that gives me a joy, a hope. Also, the hope that comes from God, the Bible said that is firm and secure. It's not weak. A man was driving his car in a very remote area. He was driving, it was 2 in the morning, and then he feels like something wasn't right in his vehicle. So he get off and start walking around, just like me. I don't know anything about vehicles. I drive them, but I don't know anything. I will open the hook because everybody do that, but I don't know. The guy was the same thing. So the guy just looked, but it was something, you know, easy to see what was the issue. He has a flat tire. So he doesn't have a good temper, so he was just flat tire in the middle of nowhere. So he went to his trunk to get his, you call jack, right? Jack. And then he just remembered that he lent his jack to a friend. And then he saw a light, and he said, "Ooh, it looks like a house. Nah, house here. Oh, maybe it's a house." So he started walking towards that light, and he said, "Yeah, it is a house, but maybe the guy doesn't have a car, so I will walk there and no car, no jack. But maybe he has a car." So he keep walking. And then he said, if he has a car but he doesn't have a jack, then again I will waste my time. He keep walking and he said, you know, but maybe he has a car, he has a jack, but maybe he's one of those guys who don't like to help people. And I will be there, and he will treat me in a very bad way, and we will have a confrontation. He goes close to the door, and he knock. So the owner came, opened the door, and with a smile, he said, "Oh, hi there." And the guy looked at him and said, "You know, you are the most selfish person that I have ever met. And you don't care about people." And he walks away. He said something else, but I can repeat here. Unfortunately, the hope that we find in the world is like that. And I cannot imagine facing life with that kind of hope. You know, when I think about the future of my granddaughters, we pray for them every single day, for the people that they will meet in the future, for their work, for the person that they will marry, for their kids, for the kids of their kids. But I cannot imagine, you know, going through life with the way that we love them and thinking, are they going to be fine? Yeah, or maybe not. Are they going to marry the right person? Christian? Oh, no, maybe not. What happened when I leave? They will be fine. No, I cannot live like that. But the hope that we found in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, made me feel comfortable, joy about their future, that I know that they will be fine, that they will be blessed. The hope that we have in Christ is firm and secure. Nothing will change that. His promises are there and they won't move. They're still there. It's not that I will come here and say, it used to be here, it's not here anymore. Where did it go? It's not like that. It is firm and secure. That's why it is compared to the anchor. Because, you know, when a boat, I don't know much about boats, but I know that the anchor is used not only for storms, also for those waves, you know, little waves that can take the boat to the shore and can hit the rocks. So it's not only for the times that we are going through difficult situations is also when evil comes, you know, very smooth. You don't hear it. And start trying to move you away. But we have the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ that he will come in our time of need. The hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ is certain. The hope that we found in the world is uncertain. The Bible says that a horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. Psalms 33:18. And 1 Timothy 6:17 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. People put their hope in many different things. Wealth, their partner, the country that they live. But those are very uncertain. But when we put our hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have that certainty that our hope is in his unfailing love. And you will find that there are very touching talks out there. People who are going through very difficult times, and they come and speak to others, saying, you know, I'm living this, but I found in the support of others hope. And sounds good. And people clap for that. And I'm not mocking at them, because I know that people suffer. We suffer. And we have to have that empathy and love for others. And I'm not mocking those people. What I'm saying is that when you put your hope just in the support of others, that is like a temporary relief. It's not something that will last forever. We need Christ. We need his love. Because we are putting our hope in his promises. And there are two things that the Bible says that is impossible that God will lie. He doesn't lie, but it's just to make emphasis in this. And one is his promises and the oath that he made, that he will do what he promised. When you live with hope, with the hope that comes from God, from our Lord Jesus Christ, you keep moving. You keep working. Labor doesn't stop. No matter what you are facing, you're still moving. You're still progressing. Fear won't stop you. Fear may come, but it won't stop you. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was walking towards Jerusalem, he encountered some Pharisees. You know, sometimes when I'm preaching, I prepare, and there are some words that I just forget to practice. So this one, I don't know if I am. Is that the right pronunciation, Jan? Do you understand what I say? Okay. Sorry. They came to Jesus and they said to him, leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you. And he replied, Go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day. Hoy, mañana, pasado mañana, en la mañana. Spanish. There you go, Pastor Darren, you have your first lesson today. We keep moving. You know, we may slow down a little bit, but we have that hope in Christ that will give us the strength we need to keep walking, no matter what the situation is. I share with you the experience that my brother had in the past, that his wife, his son died, and my other niece is on bed since she was 4 years old, and 4 years old, and she's now 30 with this brain disease. And he's still serving the Lord. You know, when I see that, I just saying, you know, I can't do that. That's my first idea. I can't. Something like that happened to me, I won't be here preaching. I don't know where I will be. But that's different, you know, when God make you go through all that things happen to you, he will be with you. And the strength that you will receive will be hard for someone else to understand. But you will get there. You will get there. Friends, I don't know what is your situation today. I don't know if you are walking with God, with hope, or not. But no matter where you are, no matter what you have done in your life, you can be thinking today that you are like the people from Israel, that they were thinking about, they are like bones. Not only bones. They were saying we are like bones that are already dried, that been dead for a long time. But God replied to them saying, my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. If there is something that doesn't have any hope about living, it's dry bones. So no matter where you are in your life, there is hope for you in Christ. And you have to believe that. And when you open this Bible, this is not like the Pandora box, that you will open this Bible and you will find deceptive hope, or that you won't find hope here. You will find it. This is not the Pandora box. Open your Bible. Walk with God. Walk with hope. God bless you.
One thing Harrison was hoping for this week was that I could play the bagpipes, but I can't. I can play the piano a little bit, so we're going to sing In Christ Alone, Our Hope is Found. He is our strength, our hope, our song. The words will be up there for us. Would you stand and sing with us? My strength.
Thank you, Harrison, for opening up the book for us today and showing us hope, hope in Christ. So thank you, brother. Just again, want to invite you to join us downstairs immediately after the service for our family Sunday lunch that has been lovingly prepared, and it's going to be a great time of fellowship. Also want to encourage you to sign up for Super Saturday. We're not having soup. We're having bacon and eggs, something, some nice breakfast, and it is an important time in our church, and so I want to encourage you to put it on your calendars to come out from 9 till noon on Saturday, November 16th, so please sign up in the lobby. Well, let me open up the book one last time here this morning and give you some more words of hope from the Apostle Paul to the Roman Church. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you for all that's taken place in both sanctuaries today and for our children downstairs and Power Up. Now we ask for your blessing on our meal together, God. Thank you for health, for strength. We ask for your blessing, God. Send us out from this place with the hope that we have in you, Christ. Help us to share this hope, Lord, with others who need to hear from you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. Go in God's blessing.